Hey, Hicken here. Thanks for checking out the 1010XL On Demand. It's brought to you by Kuhn Flowers. Locations on Beach Boulevard and in Ponte Vedra. Kuhn Flowers wants to be your florist.
Now, Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Hutchinson crouches under center, takes the snap, pressure, is hit, breaks away, but he's hit again. Aiken Adell had it all bottled up. Somebody jumped over the pile and made sure to put him on the ground. Mike Peterson got him. Hutchinson under center, finding the noise, watches into safety's creep up. His play action under pressure, hit, sack, safety. Darryl Smith, the rookie from Georgia Tech.
Live from TIAA Bank Field, 1010XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, and Mike DeRocco.
Hey, welcome in everybody. D-Rock on a Wednesday this week over at 1010XL World Headquarters. Emmanuel's back, and D-Rock didn't bring any food.
No, that's not how it works.
That's exactly how it worked, Tony.
No, Emmanuel back, Tony? I don't bring it in consecutive weeks. I make you guys wait a while.
Oh, is that what it is?
Right, and then he has to, like, it needs to be sort of a surprise.
He'll, so we'll appreciate you?
At some point in June, maybe he'll get
How much do you appreciate this plan, Emmanuel, so far?
I'm not feeling his plan, D-Rock.
He wasn't feeling his microphone button there for a second either.
I have a method to my madness. Don't worry.
All right. Take your word for it.
I'm bringing him like a steak, by the way, because that's the next
a
step.
A steak?
Yeah. Because like we went donut holes and full donuts. So now you're trying, next step steak.
He's trying to top Morton Anderson and Evander Holyfield. We already told him that those guys brought us full steaks.
They did.
Full steaks for breakfast.
Yeah. Did they bring Emmanuel a full steak for breakfast?
Yes, yeah. They brought us three steaks.
Oh, okay. Well, then
yes.
Never mind. Then I'll come up with something
else. Cooked them moments before delivering them.
Okay, it's going to be a rotisserie chicken. That's in between that and that.
I love a good rotisserie chicken.
Or, if you want, a big, giant cinnamon roll. What's your choice?
I'd go with the chicken, man.
Both?
Yeah.
Well, then I better bring a vegetable,
meal
too, so
and
we can
dessert.
Have a full meal, get the whole thing. Yeah.
By the way, one of the biggest boondoggle purchases of all time. It's a good product, but, you know, the Ron Popeil, the rotisserie
cooker.
Set it and forget it, right? For four easy payments of whatever the hell it costs.
$843.
$8 million. It's a good product. It'll cook your chicken well. It takes up all your counter space. The thing's enormous.
You have one?
We had one. And then my wife's like, this is too big. You know, all I heard about was, we got to get this. Got to get the rotisserie chicken cooker. All right. Here it is. Got to sell this at yard sale.
Yeah,
got to get
$85 for it. Got three.
You wish if you paid $85 for it, I would never have brought it up again.
I love rotisserie chicken.
By the way, I can get sucked in. I was just getting sucked in on Facebook watching a knife sharpening commercial. You know, one of those. Hey, these are miracle knives. Look how sharp these are. They'll slice through anything. Used to love those Ginzu commercials back in the day. Remember where they go right through the tin can?
Oh yeah. Yep.
Fantastic.
And then
they'd slice through a tomato just as easily. Your shoe? Yeah, shoe leather.
Absolutely.
Didn't matter. Whatever.
Publix rotisserie chicken, by the
Publix
way.
Publix rotisserie chicken.
I would eat
kick
that
some serious
all day long.
Tail.
That is really, really
I
good.
I'd probably have gone stretches where I've eaten a rotisserie chicken for Publix for an entire week. Like each day, gotten a new rotisserie chicken. Or, you know, maybe every couple days, depending on how much leftovers there were.
Well,
but I want
just
the plain.
You, it should be a significant amount of leftovers.
The original, the plain. But I'll eat half that chicken, like the first go.
The mojo. Take,
like the base, I'd cut it right down the middle. I'll take half right there.
I'm not a lemon pepper guy.
No, just plain.
Leon.
Plain
Seriously,
original.
I do not
you're
like
not,
lemon
You're not
pepper.
Leon Searcy. Tony, you want to weigh
like
in on rotisserie chicken?
I like rotisserie chicken.
Do you like, are you,
you
a flavor guy?
You have to be an inhuman monster if you don't like
You do, right?
Chicken.
I mean, it's a delicious, juicy treat. Who doesn't like a chicken?
And it's cooked for you.
Chickens were put on earth to eat. I think it's pretty clear.
I'm not sure they have any other purpose.
What other purpose do they serve?
Well, eggs, but, you know.
All right, but that's food production. Right,
to
eat. Right, the baby chickens before they're fully realized, eat those as well. All right, so there you go. Now you know our eating habits. Good morning, everybody. The Spiral was back yesterday on the field.
Yeah, baby.
Nice to see Nick Foles. And really, even the backup still had to throw a spiral.
Hey, there it goes. I knew that was coming in.
What? You don't think that's an important attribute to have when you play quarterback in the National Football League? Didn't it look different to you yesterday? The ball in the air?
It did a little bit, yeah.
I mean, not every pass was pinpoint accurate, but
No, he threw a couple of bad balls yesterday.
He threw a couple of bad balls, but they spun on the proper axis, which was a good start. I thought it was good. You know, I mean, look, I
breaking
didn't,
down the throwing
honestly,
motion.
All I really saw, I saw like the last 45 minutes of practice because we're sitting over there. We can't really see much of what's going on. And he looked, you know, he looked fine. I'm not out there trying to grade Nick Foles
or
the rest of these guys. Anything stand out to you that you're allowed to discuss based on the parameters of the media for OTAs?
I wouldn't put too much into who was going with what unit. At this
point.
Yeah. You know, I mean, that,
but, I mean, did any player catch your eye for whatever reason?
Juwan Taylor, you know, he did not – he wasn't working – well, whatever. I can't say the teams and stuff like that. But
yes.
He did a pretty good job in some pass block stuff there where he just kind of – I think he stoned Dwan Smoot one time.
How's that possible in a contact practice,
you know,
Mike?
But I was really impressed with the way he moved. You just watch Josh Allen out there, and you're like, wow, that guy looks like he's going to be a monster.
Oh, that's why we took him seventh
right,
overall.
Exactly. So that was kind of impressive. Chris Conley?
I thought he snatched
nice
a
catches.
Few, right?
Yeah.
Like just in the period where I watched, and you don't want to make too much out of it, but he, I mean, really went up and, like, it stood out because Dante Moncrief, the big thing, Tony, last year was he wouldn't attack the football.
Nope.
Right? If it came right to him, maybe he'd make the play.
Sure.
But he would not fight
a defensive
back for the ball.
He could still run by a guy every now and then.
Sure.
Yeah.
Chris Conley went out and plucked a couple.
Having a little bit of trouble with the heat, though, yesterday.
Yeah,
Conley
he did.
Was.
Look, it's going to happen.
Which, yeah, I mean, you know, it's a – it's a tough adjustment for some of those guys. I know it wasn't 95 degrees in Kansas City in May.
Bro, you posted next week's weather already for
Chris
us.
Chris Conley may retire.
Holy smokes. What it's like D-Rock posts a picture, I guess, from weather.com or wherever, site, and it's like every day is 100 until it gets to Thursday, then it's 103 is the expected high for the day. So – welcome to late May.
I don't, yeah.
Hope
can't
you're enjoying
wait for
spring.
August.
hey, look, toughen them up. And I've always said that for the longest time. I mean, I know it stinks for the fans if you got to sit in the stadium and bake, right? But in terms of on the field, I want as many home games against teams that have to come from cooler climates in September as possible, you know? And people, oh, you know, I want the 4 o'clock kickoff. No, give me the 1 o'clock kickoff on Sunday afternoon, so then when it comes around 3 o'clock and people are melting in the absolute heat of the day, that's when your stamina should prevail and maybe give you an edge in some of those early home contests.
Well, you know, like those guys practice in that heat to acclimate themselves, I think we should watch the practice in the air conditioning to, you know, practice for
good
the,
point.
To acclimate to the press box climate.
Look,
you know what I mean?
We're soft as tissue paper as it is. Tony and I get a tent. Which is fine, which lured Leonard Fournette in, all right?
Yeah, I heard about that.
Well,
huh?
he saw the tent, and he's like, this is the last shade I'm going to have for 2 hours. So we said the price of sitting down is putting that headset on. So he played along, and that was fine. But then after that, I look up, and I'm like, well, where are all my media brethren at the far end zone standing at
That's
the goal line?
That's where we
line?
Have to be. That's
no,
our...
no, they're all sitting up in the bleachers, Tony, is what they're
oh,
doing.
Oh, yeah, when they work on that one field, they let us go up there and stand – you know, or sit up there in the bleachers so we can see, because otherwise you're standing on that back end zone.
Yeah,
it
makes perfect sense.
You know, a line of dudes just
says right there in the guidelines, no sitting unless you're in the bleachers. All right, let's go to the bleachers and you can sit and you actually have a better vantage point.
Yeah, you can see everything.
You know, when you're out there like in a training camp practice, those bleachers are generally pretty full and you're not going to try to squeeze your way in there and all that. But, you know, anyway.
Media coming through.
I would like to see that, right? Like media out of the way here. Media.
Listen, lady.
Going to the top row.
You
media.
And your four-year-old need to get out of my seat.
Look, you can squeeze. I don't mind squeezing in next to somebody if there's room, but sure. You know, we're not certainly going to push anybody
like,
out
I
of
don't,
the seat.
It has to be. I mean, we were joking about it a little. But it has to be absolutely miserable sitting on those metal bleachers with no cover.
It really wasn't that bad yesterday.
Well,
you know.
Okay, but say you're wedged in with.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
In training
sardine
camp,
can.
And there's someone on your left, someone on your right, someone right behind you, right in front of you. I mean, and there have been days where there's no wind.
Right,
I mean,
there's a little breeze yesterday. Yeah. Honestly, yesterday wasn't that bad at all.
It's got to be awful.
Next week
there.
Looks brutal. Brutal. But, hey, again.
And I'll tell you this. Doug Marrone ain't taking them inside. Nope. No chance.
For none of it.
None of it. I would be stunned if he took them
really?
Inside. Yes.
Interesting. We'll get into that. We'll get into Yannick Ngakoue, obviously, saying yesterday, I'm going to be here for all the OTAs. I'm going to play this year, contract or not. We'll get to the question of the day. It involves Yannick Ngakoue coming up. It's already out there on social media. If you want to give it a look on Twitter or the Jaguars Today Facebook page, we'll set it up for you. Presented by Gravely Zero Turn Mowers, an American workhorse since 1916. We'll roll through that coming up on the other side. You want to talk Jaguar football and any of its many facets? 641-1010 on the phone lines or the text line, driven by Duval Ford. Hit us up on Twitter at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony, and at ESPN Duraco, or where else? On the Jaguars Today Facebook page or wherever you can possibly find us. Stick your head out the window and yell really loudly, and maybe we'll hear you in that capacity as well. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Mike Duraco, and E.T. He's hungry. He's starving, folks. Somebody bring this man a rotisserie chicken and a nice cinnamon bun because D-Rock.
And some kale. We got to get some
greens. No, we don't need any kale.
Kale.
You can have the kale. Bring
broccoli.
D-Rock some
broccoli?
Kale.
Broccoli's fine.
Okay, broccoli.
Regular broccoli's fine.
We're going to give him a nice, balanced meal.
Yeah, I don't know, for breakfast.
Man went to kale. Think
he's already got a rotisserie chicken for breakfast.
Disgusting.
I don't know how balanced this is going to be. All right, we'll take a timeout. We'll get into Yannick Ngakoue coming up next. We'll hear from him throughout the course of the program as well. Jaguars Today over at 1010XL World Headquarters on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Now more Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
It's important because I love the game and I try to go hard every day 100%, and that's what I intend on doing, you know, and just coming out here trying to get better each and every day, helping out my teammates, trying to be a captain this year.
Unique? That's what Leonard Fournette said we have to call him. Unique Ngakoue. Yannick Ngakoue on the importance of being a leader and being at organized team activities. Is it important? It's important to him, apparently. He talked about going away. Was he trying to send a message to the team? Say, look. Basically, if I haven't sent a message over the last 3 years of what I'm capable of doing, I don't know what to tell you at this point in time, you know? So the question of the day, presented by Gravely Zero Turn Mowers, an American workhorse since 1916, is when, if ever, will the Jaguars and Yannick Ngakoue get a long-term contract extension worked out? I say if ever because that's one of the options. Maybe they won't. The options on the Twitter poll are before the 2019 season kicks off, so sometime this offseason, that's far and away the voting favorite right now. During the season, the 2019 season, next offseason, you know, which they could apply the franchise tag, use that as a basis for negotiations, see if he makes it through this year, all these different things. Or the final option is they won't get it done. Now, obviously, there are other things that could happen. He could get franchised, play under the franchise tag, get a contract extension done somewhere further down the line. But these are the best we could do to covering the most likely outcomes as far as Yannick Ngakoue and the Jaguars with a full-time or a long-term contract extension. I looked down at my email, and the first one said full-time something. And so I just read it. I just went with it. 641-1010. By the way, Tony, are you proud of me? I'm still sitting on 10 fantasy leagues.
Oh,
right now.
He did it.
I did. I made it through a whole day without ending any new fantasy
leagues. You distracted yourself with Breaking Bad.
I did, right? I'm like nearly through season two. I'm caught up. A Better Call Saul episode went through that one, and I'm nearly through season two of Breaking Bad.
I finished finally season three of Deadwood yesterday.
Oh, did you?
So I'm.
You had seen
up.
It before, right?
No, I had never seen
oh,
it.
Oh, you'd never seen
and
it?
And I knew the movie was coming, and like it's at the end of the month, the Deadwood movie's coming on HBO, and I wanted to see the show, obviously, before the movie got there, but what a freaking show.
Oh, it's a great show.
It
right?
was unbelievable.
You know, it's fun. That reminds me. I'm kind of like halfway through a rewatch of that. I've got a few different balls I'm juggling on the television right now. My wife and I, when we have the same television time together, are watching The Shield. I was watching Deadwood, but my wife... not a big fan of the language on Deadwood.
There's
so
some significant language.
I watch that when she's not around. And then then with Game of Thrones endings with a whimper and not a bang.
Sure.
I you know, everybody who ever watched Breaking Bad thought it ended in great fashion.
Oh, yeah.
And so I decided, well, it's still up there on Netflix. Let me take advantage and pour through five seasons of that. 47 minutes an episode, Mikey. What do I have to do in my life? Right? Apparently nothing important.
I guess. I don't I don't know what to tell you.
Sit around. Well, I do go home. I get my exercise. Like, I go walk around the neighborhood, sweat like a crazy man, or go hit a bucket of balls or something like that. So I feel like I've accomplished something for the day.
Attaboy.
And then I go plop down in front of the TV. Let's go to the phone, 641-1010. Same number for the text line, which is driven by Duval Ford. Not only Unique Ngakoue, any aspect of Jaguar football you'd like to weigh in on, it's fair game. Let's go to Zach in St. Augustine this morning. Zach, you're on Jaguars Today. Go ahead.
Hey, how's it going?
What's up, man?
Hey, okay, there's been a lot of talk about, obviously, the contract regarding Jalen Ramsey. Obviously, he didn't report yesterday because he's in a holdout. And then Unique Ngakoue, who surprisingly showed up yesterday, even though he's looking for another contract. So I was wondering, everybody's been talking about who's going to get the big deal. Is it going to be Jalen? Is it going to be Unique? Or even Miles? I don't think Miles Jack is going to get it. I think it's going to come down to either Jalen Ramsey or Unique Ngakoue. Since Jalen Ramsey probably, I don't know, in my opinion, he's the best player on the football team. Wouldn't you give the contract to the best player? Or now that Jalen Ramsey hasn't showed up, but Unique Ngakoue showed up even though he didn't have to, and probably shouldn't have showed up because that could cost him a contract, would you give it to him now that he's shown you some character and showing you that he wants to be a major part of this team?
All right.
That's my question.
Thank you, Zach. First of all, there's not a contract that they can give out. They can give contracts to all of them if they want to, if they structure it right. And we've talked about this many times, looking at money where they can save against salary cap next year. Marcell Dareus gets cut, $20 million cap savings right there. Poof. That's a long-term contract for some, you know, that's Unique Ngakoue money right there. Right. Now, they're going to need that to get below the cap because they're currently over the salary cap projected by about $30 million for mm-hmm. next year. So, but that's $20 million you can get right there. Calais Campbell, is he back next year? If not, as it's presently constituted, that's $15 million you save against the cap. So those two guys get released, and now you're $5 million under the cap. What about other players, you know, in that mix as well? What about some of these high-paid offensive linemen? Will there be some restructures if, like, Brandon Linder and Andrew Norwell don't have the kind of years that their contracts dictate they should, for instance? You know, I'm just throwing names out there. So it's not like they have one long-term big-money contract that they can award and they have to pick one of these guys. To me, guys, just based on the importance of the position, never mind the fact that he's very good and he's young and he's homegrown, so to speak. They're all homegrown, the guys we're talking about. Unique Ngakoue is the first priority because you have more control over Jalen Ramsey going forward. It's that mm-hmm. simple. He plays under the fifth-year option next year, and then you can franchise him two times beyond that. And including this year, that's like 4 years of team control before the money gets absolutely absurd on a third franchise tag. With Unique Ngakoue, conceivably, he could play out his contract this year. You could franchise tag him next offseason. They could use that as a jumping off point for contract negotiations, or he could play it out under the tag and see where it goes. And then you'd have a much tougher decision because you can't tag Jan and Ramsey at the same time.
Right.
To me, the priority right now is Unique Ngakoue. If there's a way to get it done because you have more time with Jalen Ramsey. I think Miles Jack hasn't proven as much as either of those other two guys, and he plays not a non-critical position, it's less critical than being a pass rusher or a cornerback in the NFL, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the Jags have done this in the past where they've done some deals during the season. That is where I would probably think the Ngakoue thing's going to go. Although, you know, you kind of run a risk there. If he's up at like 12 sacks going into December, then that deal is going to be a little bit more than you probably could have gotten maybe.
But what's the franchise tag number?
17.1 this year.
Yeah.
So next year, when you factor in Frank Clark's deal,
it's called 18 and a half.
Yeah, it's
going
to be between 18 and 19.
All right, so let's say it's even 19, right? So if you're Unique Ngakoue, and if you're his representative, you're going to say, you know what, that's the starting point. Because the only way you can keep me guaranteed is to franchise tag me. So the contract begins at an average of 18 and a half or whatever the franchise tag number is. Honestly, if they sign him right now, how much lower could they expect to get than that anyway?
True, but, well, probably not lower than that, But if he's at 10 sacks going into December, now he's going to want 20 or 21.
He may. And you may say, all right, well, guess what? We're going to franchise tag you, and you're going to get 18 for 1 year.
It is a giant game of chicken, though, especially with a guy like Jalen, who we think probably just based on everything that we have seen from him and stuff like that, he's going to be a tougher negotiation than Unique Ngakoue.
I think so. By the way, if they sign Jalen tomorrow to a record-setting contract,
he's still not going to be here for OTAs.
He's not showing up
not
for
at
OTAs.
All.
He's at just
all.
Not. And you as a fan, you either need to accept that or at least know that that's what's coming. Guess who wasn't in Oakland yesterday? Antonio Brown.
Yeah,
right?
I still don't get the – I don't get the massive distaste or the massive anger – at the players who don't show up for OTAs. Jalen has a history. He didn't show up for OTAs last year. He showed up in shape and played pretty well.
I think people, honestly, you know, I think it simply boils down to people are like, I work hard for $60,000 a year or whatever, you know, and I got to live on that. But I think that's where it comes from. I'm not saying it's fair.
You can't compare.
You can't, but that's what people do. They say, I bust my ass for 50, 60, 70 grand a year and support a family of four on this amount of money. This guy, all he has to do show up and practice a little bit and play football, and he gets millions of dollars.
They're not getting paid for this, by the way.
I understand that. Yeah. But in the big picture, they're looking at it like it's all part of your job. I agree with you. They negotiate. They have power because they have a skill. Like, you can say that, but whatever job you do, likely there are a lot of people that they could find on the street or in somewhere else that they could poach. You can't find people that could play the position Jalen Ramsey plays to the level he plays it. There are a handful of guys on planet Earth that can do that. So he's got a skill that's in demand, and the industry he's in is making billions of dollars.
I know. But here's the thing. This is a collectively bargained thing. They have a union.
Right.
It's no different than – you know, an auto workers union or a plumbers union.
If your plumbers union said you don't have to show up half the year, it's voluntary, and they can't penalize you if you don't, how many of the plumbers are showing up? I bet less than the percentage of football players that are showing up.
Right. Now, look, as a coach and as a fan, you'd absolutely want 100% participation. But you have to be realistic and understand that's just not going to happen most times. Look, Tom Brady didn't show up last year. And they won a Super Bowl. Tom Brady isn't showing up this year. I think they're going to be okay. You know, Jalen Ramsey didn't show up last year. Played pretty darn well. Was a Pro Bowler. So
you're preaching to the choir.
I know.
In this room.
And it's not hard to acknowledge that. Is it cool to see a guy handle it the way Jan is handling
it's
it?
Fantastic.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Right? Like, is it nice to see a guy that's like, look, the money's going to take care of itself. I'm here to work. Like, yeah. Appreciate the heck out of it.
Right.
That doesn't mean the guys who aren't doing it that way are wrong for doing it the other way. It's just appreciate guys like Jan who are doing it that way and hope that your team rewards them for being this type of guy.
And him doing that is a little bit of a show of good faith, too.
Sure,
absolutely.
That, like, hey, look, I don't have to be here. I made my point by not being here a while ago. I show up. I'm in really good shape, as usual. I worked hard. All you have to do. It's not a coincidence that he mentioned, you know, the stuff he posted on his Instagram. Because he posted workouts on his videos of him working out on his Instagram.
Right, we know he's not sitting on the couch.
No, he's not sitting. Yeah, he's not Mike DiRocco-ing things here. He is working his butt off in the weight room.
With the type of player Jan is, like, it would be as frustrated as I've ever been with the organization if he wound up walking away. Like, if that's what the end of this would be, it would be as frustrated as I've ever been with the
Jags. If you're not going to invest in Jan, who would you invest in?
Right.
Honestly.
Like, he's done all this the right way.
Is he the greatest against the run? No.
No.
Is he better than he used to be? Yes. He's a pass rusher, and you need pass rushers
and
in this league.
He'll have made roughly $3 million for 4 years of service, right? And I know you don't – I'm not here to give him bonus.
Yeah.
Right, but to me, like, wow, you've gotten an incredible deal on him, and you expect him to continue to play as well or better going forward. It's not like an end of his career, let's go back and reward him. I'm not saying that, but – you got to understand where he's coming from.
Oh,
that, hey, I've done this and I'm still showing up. By the way, several people on the text line, I usually jump all over this when people refer to Jalen Ramsey or whomever as a holdout. He's not holding out.
Nope.
He doesn't have to be here, right? By the way, Le'Veon Bell wasn't holding out last year either. He didn't sign his franchise tender. He was not under contract.
To anybody.
He was not a member of the National Football League.
Right.
So you can't hold out. You can't hold out. You're not holding out when it's a completely voluntary thing. Now, completely voluntary to a degree, because you have to have the clout to know that even though you're not allowed to be penalized for it, we all know if you're third guy on the depth chart at whatever position, you just decide, oh, it's OTAs, I don't have to be here. You're not making the team. Whether they blame it on that officially or not,
right.
We know that. They're not cutting Jalen Ramsey. So there are a handful of guys on every team that are in position. Antonio Brown, they just traded for him, gave him the brand new contract. What are they going to do? Cut him because he didn't show up for OTAs? He knows he doesn't have to go if he wants to stay away. And again, Antonio Brown, I'm sure, is not sitting on the couch either. You know,
no.
He's getting his mustache bleached is probably what he's doing right now. All right, 641-1010. If you'd like to weigh in on any aspect of Jaguar football, it's Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Now more Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, let me divert the path here for a minute. What are you laughing at over there?
I'm going to go watch Rocky IV when I get home.
Oh, are you? That's all it took?
Yep.
Pavlov's dog over here, ladies and gentlemen. I live in America. All right. My cousin posted this yesterday on Facebook, and I don't like getting sucked into these things, right? I don't like
you did.
But I did because I thought, oh, this is easy. I'm just going to give the correct answer to this riddle. And it's one of these deals. She posts it, and she goes, if you don't get it right, I, whoever you're replying to, gets to select a photo from your Facebook photos, and you have to post that photo and repost the riddle, right? And if you do get it right, they'll put your name in the comments with a little trophy, right? And so I'm like, well, this is, I thought, was easy. Let me read you the riddle. D-Rock thought he knew what it was.
Yeah, no.
Because I thought I knew what it was too, right? And 90% of the people who replied thought it out and thought the same exact thing. Tony has not heard this, I don't believe. Have you heard this?
No.
Okay, E has not heard this either.
Wow. We're
excited
about
this.
That answer was just awesome.
Okay, read the riddle. If your answer is incorrect, I can choose any of your photos, and you have to post it along with the riddle. If you answer correctly, I'll write your name in the comments with a trophy emoji. Here's the riddle. It's 7 a.m. You're asleep. There's a sudden knock on the door. Behind the door are your parents who came to have breakfast. In your fridge are bread, milk, in parentheses, pasteurized, juice, right, juice, and a jar of jam. To answer, what will you open first? And then it goes on to say, answer directly through private messenger only, please. Answers in the comment section will be deleted. What do you open first, Tony?
I mean, your eyes would be the logical
answer. What would
answer.
You open first?
The juice?
He's going to open the juice. He's blindly going to stumble into the kitchen.
He's
ignore
going through
his parents
the family,
at the door.
Through
I'm
going to
get this juice open,
I'm
Mom
parched.
And Dad. I'll be there in a minute.
In a second.
All right. My first thought was they're trying to suck you into something in the fridge, obviously, uh-huh. Right? Then I thought, oh, you got to open the door for your parents.
Sure.
I'm asleep. I open my eyes, right? That's what D-Rock
said.
That's
what I thought it was.
That's what 90% of the people who replied to me said. So I reply, you open your eyes.
Mm-hmm.
No, you have to open Facebook Messenger to answer the riddle. Because it says, to answer, comma, what will you open first?
Oh, that's a bunch of horse.
It is a bunch. Well, I said my Facebook Messenger was already open. So I didn't have to. You know, what if my eyes are closed? I can't open Facebook Messenger.
No offense. But those are the people that need to be punched in the arm. Like, if if one of your buddies
I'm
did that
tell
at
my
school,
cousin Peggy that you're going to punch her in the arm next time.
If one of your buddies did that to you at school, what do you open first? You pound him in the arm, right?
Absolutely. And
yeah.
He'd be well deserving of that, pounding
Absolutely.
In the arm. So I just spoiled the riddle for everybody.
One Good. Per- Don't get I- sucked in, everybody.
Right. You know, sorry I ruined Facebook for you, but one person did get it right, and I have yet to post their little trophy because I don't want to. That's my whole problem with this. Not that I got it wrong. It's that now I'm supposed to pick out a picture from everyone's Facebook profile and go creeping through their photos and stuff
that is
like
a little
that.
Bit
like,
of stalkery.
Pick your own picture, people, right. If you got it wrong, and pass it along down the line, or don't, whatever the case may be. Because I feel like you were all correct who said you had to open your eyes first, or close second, the juice. Okay? The juice.
The juice.
Very close second. You went right for the juice. I'm not drinking that pasteurized milk. I'll ignore the jam. Why is the bread in the fridge?
The hell with my folks.
Who puts? Do you guys put the bread in the fridge?
No.
You put bread in the fridge, E?
That's a big negative.
Some people do, but they're not very smart.
Well, here we go.
Just like people put like ketchup in the fridge once it's open.
Wait a minute.
It's supposed to be put in the fridge, but I don't. It's in the counter.
After it's open.
Yep, after it's open.
Well, that's like it is at most restaurants. They just leave
it
on the
table. It is like that at most restaurants, but I think
they don't leave the mayo.
I'd much no, hope not. Oh, no.
Are you going through the ketchup as fast as a restaurant?
Good point, right? Cuz they're filling that jar every day from a fresh source, they hope.
You should never.
You need a bigger fridge. He's got all the juices taking up all the room in Emmanuel's fridge.
Any of those like refillable ketchup things or any of the condiment things, especially like at your seafood place, like
don't use
tartar sauce. No, because all they do is they pour the new stuff on the top, and then that old stuff in there has been in there from like 1988.
I don't like to think about anything that goes on in the restaurant. I'm sure there's some fine restaurants out there that are very clean. I worked in a couple.
I did too.
In the past.
Or one, anyway.
And then I saw something the other day, some story about such and such caught reusing uneaten food, like right off people's plate. Like it comes in, they bust the table, somebody didn't touch their whatever, and we're just going to send it back out to Mike DiRocco.
Great.
So
fantastic.
There you go. Just wanted to get that in and get that off my chest. I think Eyes was correct. All right. Let's hit some of these sound bites from Yannick Ngakoue from yesterday. We'll pick up with cut number three here, E. And, you know, Telvin Smith obviously not out there. It was a bit of a surprise to me that Yannick was there. Put it this way, I wasn't sure, Tony, what was going to happen. Then we heard, Yannick's going to be here today, and he walked out with Calais at the same time. Calais, you know, Jan, all business. Calais, huge smile on his face, as he typically does. But Yannick, after practice yesterday, was asked if Telvin's absence put more pressure on Yannick to have to lead.
I feel like I've been leading since day one since I've been here, but it's become a more of a point with the plays I made that 91 is a guy that needs to be a leader. But, you know, Telvin, when he was here, he taught me a lot, not just by leading, but how you should practice and how you need to go hard in the game each and every day and motivating your guys around you. So that's why I thank him for that each and every day.
I think a lot of what he said is like, look, I'm the same guy. Like every year you get a little bit more comfortable, you grow into a leadership role. But like he said, am I sending a message to the Jags? I sent a message for 3 years. You know, go look at the film. That's my message to the team. All I'm trying to do is get better and better and better. And pretty matter of fact about it, I think the fact that he's showing up says, absolutely, I'll be here for all the OTAs, and there's no question I'm going to play this year, kind of backs it up.
Well, and I think it brings up a question of beyond the player that they're losing, if Telvin's really not available to him for the 2019 season, what are they losing as far as leadership on the field? For a guy that's been a playmaker, like since he's got here and set foot on the, he has been a playmaking. He's an energy guy for this defense. When they had that swagger going, Telvin was a big, big part of that in 2017.
That's going to be an underrated thing of having to replace him. We all talk about, okay, the plays and all that other stuff that he made, the number of tackles. No one's had more solo tackles since he came into the league than
sure.
he has.
He's a spark plug guy.
Yeah, but you needed – that defense was built on that swagger, and you need to find a way to get that back or to replace that. But I don't know that there's anybody there that will be able to do it at all.
I want to be clear. I'd much rather have Telvin Smith on the field for the Jaguars in 2019. They're a better team if he's here than
correct.
If he's not, okay? But let's look at – some of the, you know, let's obviously granted, last year was not as good as 2017, right?
Right.
Missed tackles, things like that, out of position, maybe freelancing, whatever the cause of it was. And then you do get to the point where swagger's good, but they had too much swagger at times last year, right? I mean, like the swagger that causes Leonard
maybe.
Fournette to go, I'm going to back my boys no matter what the situation. Let me run across the field here and maybe cost us.
I call that swagger. I call that.
I think that's all part of the same. It's a symptom of the same root cause. I mean, it's on the spectrum.
I guess.
You know, to me it is anyway.
Yeah,
I mean,
no, I guess.
But like Telvin, and not it's not only Telvin, but guys, and maybe it's honestly watching Florida State over the years. Maybe the biggest thing that drove me crazy as a Seminole fan is the stupid personal foul, unsportsmanlike penalties year after year after year after year. And it's like, who are you trying to prove something to? Who are you trying to intimidate? Nobody's going to be intimidated by any of that nonsense. And, you know, when Telvin says, hey, I'm going to be me and I'm not going to change and I'm going to do it that way. And it's like, at a certain point, you got to rein it back in to a small degree. Again, much better team with Telvin Smith. I don't think that – I'm not saying they're net gain here, but there are areas where I felt like he needed to tighten up a little bit.
Yes. He needed to cut down on the stupid penalties. And that was evident, obviously, with the pointing, the taunting against Miami. That was ridiculous. And he's talking about, oh, that's who I am. I'm not going to change. I'm always going to do that. That kind of stuff is – you can't have it. But when I'm talking about the swagger, I'm talking about the attitude of, we're going to stop you. Throw your best at us. We got no problem meeting you. We're the best defense in the league. We are going to dominate and all that stuff. And I don't know – that's the part that I think they're going to miss, that confidence – that emotional fire, I guess.
Maybe the expression of it. I got to believe Jalen feels that way. A.J. Boye feels that way. They feel that
way.
Yeah,
but just because they feel that way, I think that defense functioned best. And I know it was partly, when they're winning, it's great. When they're losing, it's a problem.
I think that's a big
part
of it.
That's the biggest
issue. There's no question.
But I think that defense functioned the best in 2017 when they knew that they were going to stop teams and they knew that they were the best unit on the field, whether that was true or not. And Telvin, other than Telvin and Jalen, who talked on that defense? Really, what? Tayshawn Gibson? Okay, so they'll miss some of that too. I do think in those guys, they'll miss Gibson
Malik
on the field.
Malik talked a ton.
Yeah. Right now?
Malik could talk you.
Malik did too. I forgot about Malik.
All the talkers are gone.
Right, exactly.
Or except for Jalen.
Maybe there's a coincidence. That's not a coincidence.
Well,
I
don't.
It was a joke.
I know. But people will interpret that.
I mean, I do think this franchise needs some of that in the right way, because this franchise has been sitting on the bottom of the league for years and years. I think. They all embraced that in 2017. I know the fans embraced it, and they loved it. And I think for a franchise that's been in the toilet for so long, to be honest with you, they needed some of that. They needed to continue it. They needed to extend it.
You
got to
just find where the line is, though.
Yes.
You look,
that's always a fine line to walk.
I look at those Ravens defenses, right, the great ones with Ray Lewis and Ed Reed being the focal point.
They talked their butts off.
They talked, right, but I don't have – now, maybe I'm wrong. Like, I don't have – the numbers to back this up, but off the top of my head, my gut, I don't remember them being a team that got tons of stupid penalties or unnecessary.
Yeah, but we didn't watch them every week.
No,
we
you're right, but they were still a very prominent, you know, you may be right. Maybe they did, and I'm just not remembering it, or I didn't
sure.
see it. But that wasn't my sense. And those guys, by the way, were Hall of Fame level guys as well.
Right.
Like, Telvin's a good player. He's far from a Hall of Fame level player.
Correct.
It's one thing. Ed Reed had all the swagger I can ever remember a player having. I don't remember him making too many going too far very often, at least as I can recall.
Yeah, but here's my thing. Those unsportsmanlike conduct penalties and that kind of stuff, is that because of the swagger or is that because they're not smart players?
I don't know. I think it blends in a little bit.
I don't know necessarily – That it's connected all the time.
I think when you talk, the reason you talk is to pump yourself up and to have some intimidation factor. I do think I've always felt they went hand in hand. Like, again, going back to watching collegiately Florida State, I always felt like the players were so concerned with exhibiting this swagger that it ended up hurting the team because they would go too far.
That was an undisciplined team. That's
absolutely.
That's not
it
disciplined.
Is right.
But you can have the swagger and you can have that attitude. Look, the guy. How many? Jalen has that attitude. He doesn't commit a ton of those penalties, hardly at all.
Okay.
So you can have that and not do that. Jalen's not an undisciplined football player.
No, I would agree with that for the most part. AJ Green may disagree.
Right.
You know.
Well, okay, but you know what? A.J. Green threw the punch.
I understand.
The first punch. So,
I understand.
I mean, Jalen didn't commit the penalty there to start that whole thing. But, you know, a guy like Dante Fowler, that was an undisciplined football player. And he was, you know, a guy that yip.
There's nothing wrong with some swagger. Just,
absolutely.
It, just don't, like you said, maybe that's it. Just be smart. Don't know where to walk it up to the line, but not over the line. 10 toes down on the right side of the line. Okay, we'll come back. This Dayton football, the Roland Reich roll around the National Football League. More from Unique and Ngakoue. Hayes Carline with Keelan Cole yesterday after practice. You'll hear that short interview as well, how he sees himself fitting in and bouncing back in 2019. Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, and Mike DiRocco here with you. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Now, Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. And now, this date in football history.
This is a pretty significant date in the history of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Oh.
It was on this date, 1991, that the NFL owners agreed to expand by a pair of teams. Initially, that expansion was going to take place in 1994 for their debut. Got pushed back a year to 1995, but it was on this date in 91 that they opened the door to expansion. Ultimately, the Panthers got the franchise first. Let's come back and think about this a little bit. We're going to give it to Jacksonville because we like Wayne Weaver, and Wayne held the line, did not go to St. Louis or any other locale, and brought the Jaguars to Jacksonville. So a pretty significant date in Jaguar history today. Famous birthdays for this date include Julian Edelman, who's rumored to get a two-year contract extension, which would take him through the next three seasons in New England. The speculation rampant that they're marrying him up to the timeline of how long they expect Tom Brady to play.
Brady be 45.
Brady would be going like 44 going into his 45-year-old season, something like that.
Wants to play
exactly right. So three more seasons, perhaps, of that combo. Of course, Julian Edelman was the MVP of the most recently played Super Bowl. He is 33 years old today. Born in the state in 1988. Happy 31st to Sergio Brown, Jaguar safety.
Woo!
Woo! He was the Ric Flair fan of all Ric Flair fans.
Get
among Jaguar
out the
players.
Club.
That's right. 2015, he spent with the Jacksonville Jaguars. One more year in the league and hasn't played since that point in time. And happy birthday to the second leading scorer in Jacksonville Jaguar franchise history. That, of course, is kicker Mike Hollis, who spent 7 years with the Jags. All told, including the one season he ended up with the Buffalo Bills, 200 for 250 kicking field goals. I can even do the math on that. 80%. Mike Hollis, 47 years old today. And that brings us to our pop quiz.
Oh, here we go.
For Fat Tony and D-Rock.
Mike Hollis like this at all.
Is the number two scorer in Jacksonville Jaguar team history. Most points scored. I need, without you guys striking out, the other nine that populate the top 10. Let's see.
Well, certainly Scobie.
Scobie's number one. He's got 1,022 points. Hollis has 764 points. Nobody else has hit 500 points in a Jaguar
Mojo's on the list.
Mojo is number three. Well played, D-Rock. So you
Fred
got
Taylor.
Top three. Fred Taylor is number four on the list. 486 and 424.
Jimmy Smith is on the list.
Jimmy Smith has 418 points. No other Jaguar player has scored 300 now that you've knocked out the top five. Who
James
do you got?
Stewart.
James Stewart's seventh on the all-time list with 228 points. Who else you got?
I'll go
Mercedes
Jason
is on the list. Is he not?
Mercedes, you said, is eighth. He's got exactly 200 points. Jason Myers has 268. He is sixth on the list. So we're down to the final two spots in the top 10. You've gotten the top eight without a single strike on your record. Where do we go next?
Keenan.
Keenan! Number nine on the list. Can I go for the clean sweep? Keenan McCardell, 190 points in a Jacksonville Jaguar
What's
uniform.
The number? Can you give me the number?
No,
or do you
cannot. I cannot. It's less than 190.
Less than 190.
Good
I'm,
luck.
I'm debating a few guys here.
It's got to be somebody to play.
I bet it gets pretty thin at this point.
I'll just say this. If you're thinking Matt Jones, he's 19th all time, and that is sad, sad, sad.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm betting it's getting pretty thin at this point. A-Rob?
A-Rob is 11th. Strike one. Strike one. A-Rob has 136 points. So somewhere between 136 and 190 is the 10th player on the Jaguars' all-time scoring list.
Then it's Lambo.
Lambo, baby! There you go.
Nice.
The Lamborghini has 155 points. Already, Josh Lambo is a top 10 scorer in Jacksonville Jaguar franchise history. I'll give you the second 10. You mentioned A-Rob. Alan Hearns at 12. Stacey Mack. Give
the vulture.
Give at least half of those points to Fred Taylor, please. But if you do, Fred's still 2 points behind Mojo, so he's still fourth on the all-time list. Let's see. Reggie Williams is 14th. David Garrard is 15th. Remember, you're not getting points for throwing touchdowns here.
Right.
For rushing.
So he's 15th just on his rushing.
On his rushing TDs, Dave has 108 points, 17 touchdowns. And 3 2-pointers as well.
So that would be 15 players have scored 100 points?
15 players. What did I get that down to? 108? Yes, because Leonard Fournette is at 96. Leonard Fournette, 16.
If he had punched that one in against Buffalo without
there you go.
Out, he would have been there.
And he would have, and they would have beat the Bills, and the stupid mafia would have jumped through more tables in the postgame. Ernest Wilford, 17th all-time. Mark Burnell is 18th. We mentioned Matt Jones. And then the mighty Seth Marler rounding out your top
20. My guess for the last guy, I'm glad Tony went with Lambo because I wasn't even thinking him, but my guess was going to be Reggie Williams.
Reggie Williams, yeah. So you would have been wrong.
Yeah, but he was, 14th, you said?
He was 14th. You guys did spectacularly well. You got the first nine before you had a strike, and then you guessed the 11th guy right before the 10th guy. So that was well done on the pop quiz, and that is this date in football history.
Now, let's roll around the NFL with Roland Reich Plumbing, where quality and experience count.
If my computer will cooperate, I'll pull up the Roland Reich
Plumbing. By the way, Julius Thomas is 32nd on the all-time list for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
I thought that was going to be a phenomenal signing, and it turned out to not be very good.
So much. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers have parted ways with defensive tackle Jared McCoy a couple of days ago. They have reportedly found his replacement along that defensive line as the team is reportedly closing in on a one-year deal with free agent defensive lineman Ndamukong Suh. Suh spent last season with the LA Rams getting 4.5 sacks over the course of the regular season, adding another 1.5 during the team's run to the Super Bowl. Suh reportedly is interested in playing for Bucs' new defensive coordinator Todd Bowles, most recently the head coach of the New York Jets. Seattle linebacker Bobby Wagner is at OTA practices with the Seahawks but is not participating on the field as he tries to get a new contract done. Wagner has 1 year remaining on his current deal, is set to make $10.5 million this season in base salary. Wagner has been selected as an All-Pro in 4 of the last 5 seasons, has missed just 2 games in the last 4 years. Seattle head coach Pete Carroll, after OTA practice yesterday, said that there is a chance newly acquired pass rusher Ezekiel Ansah will be available for week 1 for the Seahawks. Tom Pelissero reported on NFL Network that the Dallas Cowboys and running back Ezekiel Elliott are working on an extension that would make Elliott the highest paid running back in league history. This is all after Elliott was briefly handcuffed at the EDC Music Festival over the weekend in Vegas after he allegedly shoved a security guard who didn't want to press any charges. The league says they'll take a look at it, but don't expect anything to come out of it.
He did the hands-up move after that. You see that? Like he kind of gave him the bump. He's like, I didn't touch him.
Yeah. Wasn't me.
Wasn't me.
Tight end Delanie Walker is back out on the practice field for the Tennessee Titans. As they get their OTAs underway, Walker is participating in individual drills only. Said after practice that he is 85% healthy right now, coming back from the ankle injury. And San Francisco rookie pass rusher, number 2 overall pick, Nick Bosa, suffered a hamstring injury during practice that forced him to leave early and was unable to return. Head coach Kyle Shanahan was unsure of the severity of the injury after practice. Obviously, Bosa was an oft-injured guy during his time at Ohio State, missed virtually all of his last season up there getting ready for the NFL draft. So we'll see if that continues to be an issue for Bosa going forward.
All right. By the way, as an addendum to the pop quiz, 160 players have scored at least 1 point for the Jags. And I say at least 1 point because Jarrett Holmes scored exactly that, one extra point for the Jags. And then Schmenge, Meyer, Leon Jacobs, Greg Favors, and Marcel Darius, each with a safety coming in with 2 points apiece. 8 safeties in Jaguar history defensively. So they were the 5 who got them that didn't score anything else. Like Tony Brackens has a touchdown, Daryl Smith has a touchdown, and JT Thomas has a touchdown to go with the safeties that they compiled as well. A couple on the text line here. We'll hear from Hayes Carline with Keelan Cole coming up next segment on the program. What did you guys think of Quincy Williams yesterday? I know you can't divulge too many specifics. Hacker said he thought he looked small. I know he's shorter than Telvin, but he is heavier. Honestly, in the time I'm out there, I'm really watching Foles throw the football. And didn't see the majority of practice. I didn't even notice Quincy Williams at all out there. Did you see anything?
Yeah, I looked for him, and he is a little smaller than I thought. But he can run. He can. I mean, I think that was pretty evident. He can really run. And, you know, if you're not the ideal size, you can make up for it with another attribute, what, you know, that's significantly better. And if he can really, really run, that'll be great for the Jags. But he's lost a little bit. You could tell he was a little bit lost. He was, you know, not sure which way to go. There was some hesitation, some stuff, which is what you kind of expect. It's the first time they've been out there with the team, so I wouldn't, you know, read anything into that. But I did kind of think, you know, huh, he's a little bit shorter than I thought he would be.
What is Telvin's listed weight?
218, I think.
218, all right.
220, 218.
Quincy Williams, depending on the site you look at, no, he's 225.
Yeah, he's a decent size.
He's 225, and, you know, of course, they fudge in college, but they listed him at 239 at Murray State. I don't think he's that.
No.
Right?
I don't think so either.
But he's a guy who didn't go to the combine, so I don't know if we have an accurate up-to-the-moment measurement of exactly what he weighs.
Telvin's weight in August was nowhere close to his weight in December because he was probably struggling to break 200 in December. Mm. You know, he was probably in that 200 to 205 range by the time the season ended.
Yeah.
I mean, most of those guys – that's why, like, Leonard gaining that weight last year is so, like, mind-boggling because – most guys struggle to keep weight on all year.
It's
really bad for a guy like Telvin who didn't have much to lose to begin with. So, you know, he's probably, like I said, about in that 205 range.
Telvin listed at 6'3", 215. You know, 6'3", Quincy Williams listed everywhere you find him at 5'10". So, major difference there. Boy. Who am I thinking of who's that tiny little – I thought Michael Barrow was just
Sam Mills,
tiny.
Is that who you're thinking?
Was it Sam Mills?
Sam Mills was the 5'9 linebacker, I think, for the Saints.
I always had the impression that not Michael Barrow was considered an undersized guy. He was 6'2", 245. Let me see what Sam Mills
– I think he was
5'9, 229.
Yeah, he was the short – the guy. He played for the 5'9", Panthers and the Saints, right?
Yep.
That would be the kind of – comparison you'd want.
Right. But Sam Mills could really run.
Well, so could Quincy Williams.
Exactly. So, I mean, that's what I'm saying. You got to make up for it with something else. And you know, he does.
And he played inside, Sam Mills did. I mean, look, I think if you have the right guys up front, you can get away with one guy like that. And who knows? You know, look, they look at him as a linebacker now. Who knows? Ultimately, down the line, maybe he does play some safety, you know, which –
We'll never know.
I think right now that they're only thinking of him as a linebacker.
Right.
Quincy Williams.
I mean, he's
a
pretty violent tackler, too.
Oh, he is an extremely violent tackler. I mean, you feel all the 200 and whatever pounds he's bringing.
He probably hits like he's 240, and that's why they listed him like that at Murray State.
He may be, like the intimidation factor.
He closes. I mean, I know it's his highlight video, and no one's going to put their bad plays on that. But holy crap, can that guy close?
Yeah.
I mean, you just –
You see a ball carrier in space, and all of a sudden a heat-seeking missile just come up, and every time he hits one of these guys, and you're like you said, it's his highlight video, but they're moving backwards. They're not dropping out. I mean, they are flying backwards. He is just de-cleating guys.
I mean,
guys.
I get if you're an NFL team and you're watching that, you're going, whoa, this is – we got to take a look at this guy. I totally get that.
All right, we'll get back to the text line. I got a lot coming in there at 641-1010, driven by Duval Ford. Question of the day is out there as well if you'd like to weigh in about Unique Ngakoue. There's a poll on my Twitter page, at MD_1010XL, presented by Gravely Zero Turn Mowers, an American workhorse since 1916. When do you think a contract extension will get done? Before this season, during this season, upcoming, next offseason, or maybe you don't think it'll get done. Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, Mike DiRocco here with you, Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Now more Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
I think everybody, it kind of opened up our eyes. You know, we got the talent, got the ability and everything, but just coming together as a whole and making everything look right. So I feel like we're ready. This is only the first week OTAs. We have a long way to go, so I think we'll be all right.
That's Leonard Fournette joining us yesterday briefly before the first OTA practice of the offseason, talking about the end of last season and the approach to organized team activities. We shall see, because as you said, Mike, last year looked like he was in great shape, right, coming in and, yep, and ready to start the season, and then somehow managed to gain weight throughout the course of an NFL season.
Hey, look, I did too, but...
However, for the media, they call it fat ball season fat ball instead of football season. That's just the way it goes, you know.
Among other terms.
Prisco claims he invented the term.
He might have. I never heard anyone say it before him.
He might have been.
And you know, and I don't really ever want to give Pete credit for anything.
It's all right. He'll take it anyway. You don't need to worry about it.
Yeah, exactly.
If it's something you haven't given Pete credit for, much like myself, he will take it.
Absolutely. Right?
I mean, look.
I love Pete. Let's just get that out there so people don't think I'm
Pete.
Oh, we all love Pete.
Yeah. Pete is Pete, and Pete.
You know who really
Pete
loves
who Pete is.
You know who really loves Pete?
Pete.
Pete really loves Pete.
Pete's favorite saying: "If it's good,
for me, it's good for me."
I can respect that. I can appreciate that. All right, here's one on the text line: Jalen Ramsey went from a top cornerback to the 26th ranked in 1 year. If you don't think that trend will continue downward, you're delusional. Okay. First of all, 26th ranked according to whom? Right. Well, we looked. I'm guessing it's Pro Football Focus who ranked him 24th last year, and their evaluation said, well, he gave up 163 more yards, and he had four fewer combined pass breakups and interceptions. I don't know if people realize this. When you do stats in the NFL, if you make an interception, you get credit for a pass breakup and an interception on the same play. So you double dip on that stat. So two more picks, and he's exactly the same as he was the year before. As you pointed out, Mike, as we were reading through some of the names on that list, would you rather have him than this guy? No. Would you rather have this guy than, for instance, Bryce Callahan of the Chicago Bears?
Nope.
Prince Amukamara?
Nope.
Of the Chicago Bears? Didn't he play here? Have we not seen? Do we watch football, or do we just read PFF's statistical analysis
and my,
of football?
My thing is especially about this pass stuff, the pass coverage stuff. They don't know what the coverage was. They don't know if he had zone. Just because Jalen is chasing a guy down the end of the field because he's scoring a touchdown doesn't mean that was Jalen's guy.
Right.
I mean, there were a couple other times when that's what happened.
Reggie Nelson used to get Rasheen Mathis so much shade for that exact reason. Rasheen Mathis, I had coaches who told me this, that you look at it, you see Rasheen chasing a guy, that's Reggie's guy, because Rasheen was supposed to release him to Reggie Nelson, and Reggie Nelson's like going like, oh, look at this. You don't know where the hell he's looking. And so then Rasheen realizes, damn, I guess I got to try to run him down now, right? And you're like, oh, why is Rasheen 10 yards behind the intended receiver here?
Right.
Because it's not his guy.
And, you know, and that's not a knock on PFF. It's just –
What was your point about the Bears?
I'm very, very hesitant to write so-and-so blew a coverage until after a game, until I know exactly what happened. Now, did Jalen mess up in the Colts game and he gave up the one touchdown? Yes, he absolutely did, where he blew the coverage. If I remember correctly, the Colts game up in Indy in that first half, he was one of the guys that blew a coverage. But there's nobody else, I mean, maybe one or two guys on that list that I would consider taking over Jalen.
Here are three Bears. Kyle Fuller, who's a really good player, right?
Yeah.
It was number seven. Bryce Callahan was number nine. Prince Amukamara was number 11, according to PFF's rankings.
I like Prince.
But they all play for the Bears. What did the Bears have in spades last year?
Khalil Mack and a pass rush.
Pass rush!
right?
I mean, the
that
Jags pass rush fell
difference.
Off. If you're only having to cover for X amount of time, just given the raw material that Jalen is, the lump of clay that he is and the skills that he possesses, I am of the belief that if – given any defense, if you could plug in any of these guys, there may be one or two that might be even on his level. On his level, not better than him even.
And I don't know what the Bears' schedule was, but I know that Jalen had Antonio Brown. Jalen drew DeAndre Hopkins twice, who is
– maybe the best receiver in the game at this moment.
That no one ever talks about. It's always like A.B. and Julio and all that other stuff. But DeAndre Hopkins may be the best one. In the league.
When I hear, if you don't think that this trend will continue downward, you're delusional, you don't like Jalen Ramsey. It's pretty clear. You're anti-Jalen Ramsey. Maybe you don't like him because of his attitude, the fact that he didn't show up for OTAs, whatever. He thinks he's above whatever your perception of him is.
Right.
If you don't watch enough football, You read too many stats.
Jalen's not a perfect player, but there isn't any perfect player. He's as if you were going to say, design me a cornerback, you would design Jalen Ramsey. Big guy, long arms, can run, not afraid of contact, can blanket somebody in coverage. That's what you would do. That's what you would draw. Is Jalen Ramsey. You'd go, okay, here we go. This is the perfect corner. Sometimes the eye test is better than the statistic test.
Put it this way. If Jalen Ramsey was a free agent, he'd get the biggest contract in the history of the National Football League. If Jalen Ramsey, Xavien Howard, who just signed his contract, pick your top 10 corners, I think he'd get the biggest contract out of all of them. The only thing that might...
Partly because he would demand it.
Well, that's
true.
Okay. But I think the only thing that might hold you back is, is this guy all in? Do we want a guy who's going to be here for OTAs? Is that important to your organization? But just in terms of give me the player, and I know he's going to show up, and you can't know who's going to be healthy or not, but whatever. I mean, get your – look, I love stats. I love fantasy football. It's great. I don't think it's real football.
No.
I don't think it's 100% reflective. Just because you have a bunch of statistics doesn't mean you're the best at what you did. It depends on your circumstance. Receiver may get targeted a ton because they have nobody else to throw to on that team, and they're behind all the time, and they're always throwing, and he may put up numbers. That doesn't mean he's better than everyone who – came in behind him in those statistical categories.
There isn't a coach on that Jaguar staff that would take any of the other guys on that list over Jalen Ramsey.
I agree.
Not a single one.
I agree.
I don't think the people at PFF would either. Honestly, I don't.
Right.
I think that they are committed to whatever their rankings are on these players, and they stick with it, whatever their numbers tell them they are. But if you ask them who the best corner in the league is, I bet a lot of them would say Jalen Ramsey.
Right. If you were starting a team and you could take one corner, who would you take?
I doubt they're saying Stephon Gilmore, despite how good a season he had.
Forget the PFF guys. If you just did that with 32 GMs on a lie detector, on Truth Serum, I think he'd get more votes than any other player out there.
I do, too.
Period.
Yeah.
And, if not, he'd be in the top two or three. He's not the 24th or 26th or whatever and a downward-trending player. Does that mean every year is going to be as good as the previous season? That downward trend isn't – this year wasn't as good as last year. A trend has to have more input, more data, needs seasons stacked together.
Right. If he's the 38th best corner next year,
that's a downward trend.
Yes, then you can say that.
Right.
They were the number two pass defense in football last year.
Oh, how could that be? He was terrible.
Yeah.
Just
well, there was a huge slip from number one the year before.
Who was number one? Was it Chicago? Better have been Chicago.
Let me look.
I mean, they got three of the top 11 quarters. Prince Amukamara, we saw him play here, people. He had a nice year last year. If you think Prince Amukamara is better than Jalen Ramsey, Buffalo did.
Buffalo.
Okay.
Fine. Gave up 179 yards a game.
What did Chicago give up?
Chicago gave up 220. They were seventh.
How can that be? Pro Football Focus said they have the three best – three out of the top 11 cornerbacks in the NFL. How can that possibly be? I don't understand.
Gave it up. Chicago was seventh in the league on, around 130 more attempts against them than Buffalo. So apparently, teams playing with a lead.
Of course.
It has an effect
different
on it.
Different circumstances.
Yeah, everything works hand in hand with that stuff.
Right. You know what? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what I think. Doesn't matter what you think. Doesn't matter what anybody hitting up the text line thinks.
Yep.
Money will talk.
From a passer rating perspective, Chicago was number one. Jags came in at six. Yeah.
So,
what about the touchdown passes? How did that go?
Touchdowns, easy enough. The Minnesota Vikings led the league, gave up 15. Jacksonville was number two. They gave up 17 touchdown passes.
How can that be? I don't understand it. How can that be? Honestly, you could see yourself, if you're a team that's horrible against the run, you could see having fewer touchdown passes because teams are like, just keep handing it off. We're going to score that way. So there's so many factors that go in beyond just the raw numbers on that. All right, let's do a step aside here at the bottom of the hour. When we come back, you'll hear Hayes Carlon with Keelan Cole yesterday after practice, a brief little interview. I don't want to say a forgotten man, but a guy who's got to reassert himself back into that depth chart for the Jacksonville Jaguar wide receivers. Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, Mike DeRocco.
Now more Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, moments away from Hayes Carline's conversation with Jaguar wide receiver Keelan Cole. Fat Tony, what is the latest in terms of the NFL tinkering with the pass interference rules?
Yeah, competition committee is meeting, and one of the things they've decided is the owners have given the competition committee the power to change the pass interference challenge rule if it deems it necessary. So it's not necessarily happening, but if they want to allow coaches challenge in the final 2 minutes of each half rather than have a booth review on all those plays at the end of halves. Also, some of the news coming out basically saying they aren't, obviously, this is all in flux as far as what they're actually going to do with the rule, work with it in the preseason. We'll see what it looks like a little bit. But that the league is going to take a closer look at Hail Mary plays where they don't want to see Hail Marys basically challenged. They, and certainly not all Hail Marys to be challenged because, look, we know. A Hail Mary, it's more of them have a pass interference.
So we're just
going to
let you foul people on a Hail Mary.
Apparently.
Right. I mean, how often would they be challenged? Or how many Hail Marys are there? And you'd still have to have a challenge left, right?
Well, if there's going to be a challenge as opposed to booth initiated,
right,
yes.
Right.
But in the final 2 minutes, everything's been booth initiated anyway. So I guess it would be a specifically for pass interference. It still wouldn't be initiated that way, I guess, if it plays out that. Again, there's a lot in the air about what they want to do with it. The league also, Kansas City came in with a rule proposal about overtime. Surprised that they don't feel good about overtime.
Each possession.
Yeah, they want each team to get a possession after having lost the AFC Championship game. That's not going forward for now. Apparently, Roger Goodell did say, that's fine. Take a look at it going forward, at least for the playoffs. You know, maybe look at something to change the way that we're doing overtime right now. And Doug Marrone was actually one of the guys in the room speaking about this. Doug Marrone and Mike Singletary. About the basically some of the drills that have been done in football for a long time, we need to be done with these. Specifically, the Oklahoma drill. So, the Oklahoma drill in NFL circles,
thanks,
may be dead, and Doug Marrone may have been at the head of that charge.
Good for him. I mean, yeah, it's so dumb, right? Like, what are you proving to
anybody?
Every
high school still runs it, though, don't they? In practice,
right? Well, they a lot of stuff probably happens. I don't know. You know what? I'm not gonna besmirch all the high school coaches out there. But, I mean, Jack Del Rio threw Tyson Alualu out there the day he showed up after he was, a brief holdout, right,
mm-hmm.
Or didn't get his contract done at the start of training camp.
I'll show him.
He shows up and he throws him right into the Oklahoma drill. That's the first thing he does in practice. Gets hurt, hurts his knee,
yep,
and is never quite the same, you know, or who knows what he would have, you know. Not that he was going to become, you know, multi-time All-Pro or whatever, but just – not the right foot to get your career started off on. So, anyway, whatever. It's the sissification of football. I can't believe it. In my day, we'd hit them with a stick if they didn't do the Oklahoma drill right, and then we'd poke them with a fiery poker. And we liked it, and so did they. All right, because that's tough guy mentality right there. All right.
Okay. Here we go.
Hayes Carline. Speaking of tough guys, Hayes Carline. Sitting down with Keelan Cole, two of the toughest guys you'll ever meet, for a brief conversation after practice yesterday.
We're pleased to be joined with Jaguars receiver Keelan Cole here on 1010XL 92.5 FM. Man, it's great to see you. How was your break?
I'm good. It was long, but we're back, so let's do it.
Cool seeing you guys talking to Nick after practice. What was that like?
It was good. I mean, just trying to get the chemistry together. You know what I'm saying? New. He comes in. I mean, he's finally making himself welcome and laid around in the Jacksonville and seeing how it is. Now it's time to get out here and work, and we're just trying to get to work as fast as we can.
You had a couple connections with him today. How pleasing was that on day one?
It was good. I mean, it was good to know that for the most part our timing's almost on time. It's something, you know, we can't complete everything just quick, but we're going to try and we're going to continue to keep working.
How does flip scheme fit you?
I feel like it's nice. I mean, it's not really flip scheme. It's flips offense and is whatever number seven wants to do, you know what I'm saying? He's a great leader. I mean, coach is a great leader, so I feel like they work together the best way they can to make everything work however they do it. You know what I'm saying? I run the routes and I do whatever number seven tells me to do, so that's what it is.
Keelan, I know you were disappointed with last year. When you went back and reflected on it, were there things that you learned when you kind of self-scouted yourself in terms of things that you can do to improve in year three?
Yeah, I mean, year one, I improved. I mean, it's something to improve regardless of if it was a good play or a bad play. So, yeah, you always got to improve regardless. I mean, great catch. I mean, it could be a better catch. You can make an easier catch. You know what I'm saying? It could be it's things on good and bad plays that you can improve on.
There was so much adversity, injuries on the offense. Nathaniel obviously gets fired midway through it. How tough was that upon reflection, just being in your second year?
Oh, I just realized I was just in the NFL. I mean, the NFL, that's just how the way the NFL works. I'm sure we're not the first team, and we're probably not going to be the last team to go through that. So we really just got to work through it. You know what I'm saying? It's your job. So the NFL works that way. You signed up for it, so you just got to keep on moving.
What are some things that you try and get out of phase three of these 10 OTAs?
Well, really just the competition. Yeah, we're going against one of the best defenses in the league, so you might as well take advantage of it. I mean, everybody's not here, but everybody's here regardless of how you feel about it. Everybody's here for a reason, so every rep counts.
Great seeing Marquise running around here, not doing team stuff yet, but good seeing him out on the field.
Yeah, it's always good seeing Keith out here. I mean, he's out here to support us regardless if he can run or not. So that's always good to see everybody here mentally ready or however way they can be out here to help.
Have you gotten a sense yet of what Nick's like in the huddle, what he's like in meeting rooms, or is that too early?
He's very vocal. He's definitely going to make sure if something's wrong that he corrects it. And he's not going to come out the wrong way unless he has to, you know what I'm saying? So he does his way, and we listen to him. He's trying to lead the offense, and we got his back.
Keelan Cole, I certainly appreciate your time. I know it's hot out here. Thanks so much for taking some time for us.
Thank you. It's all right. I got my Gatorade.
Keelan Cole, yesterday, I thought the most interesting thing to me in that was, it's DeFilippo's offense, but it's whatever number 7 wants to run, basically. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, and that's good. You want – here's a quarterback.
I mean, but that's kind of what it always is with quarterbacks. You want to – for the most part, you want to run what your quarterback's comfortable
sure.
with and likes to run.
But you've got – it's not like it's a fresh scheme. We're going to figure out – like, he already knows what he likes.
Right.
You know what I mean? I think that's kind of the thing. He comes in having experience with DeFilippo, knows what he likes. You know, there are many aspects to your offense where we may not get to all those aspects, and they know that right away, you know, that this guy comes in with the clout of having had success in the offense as opposed to, you know, if DeFilippo came in, eventually you'd work, or, like, whoever the quarterback was, if Blake was back or if it was just somebody else, if Teddy Bridgewater was signed, you'd have a process of figuring that out.
Right.
Pretty much right now, Nick Foles knows what he wants, And you heard Doug Marrone talk about this yesterday. You heard Leonard Fournette talk about this yesterday. He came in, and he's reached out to basically everybody on the team in one capacity or another, and is really trying to set the tone that I'm a guy you can follow. You can hop on board, and I'm going to take you where you want to go.
Yeah, and that's a great way to do it, to kind of establish yourself as the leader, because, you know, you can't just show up and – you know, just expect everybody to follow you. Because it would have been so easy for him to show up and just, you know, everybody knows he won a Super Bowl. Everybody knows he was the Super Bowl MVP. It could have been easy for him to just show up and kind of let that be his credential and just not even, you know, but reaching out to the offensive linemen, you'd expect him to do that, but to the running backs, the receivers, the players on defense, that's just everybody – affiliated with Philadelphia, whenever you heard stories about Nick Foles and all that stuff, that's exactly what they said. They love him. He's a fantastic leader. The guys in the locker room will die for him. And, you know, now you see why.
A lot of talk that had it been put to a vote, he would have gotten, may not have gotten the majority, but it would have got a lot of support versus Carson Wentz.
Yeah.
Had they had the truth serum. You know, you're going to do, you know, you're not going to, now, you're not going to find a guy in the Eagles locker room who would say a bad word about Foles, but you're also not going to find one that would say, oh, we wish he was back here instead of Carson Wentz. That's the way it goes. You support your guy. By the way, I thought my beard was a little bit red when I look at it. Carson Wentz is as red-bearded as they come, man. I just got a glimpse of him yesterday out at, Philadelphia OTAs.
Keelan Cole's an interesting guy for me because I think he's in – there's some jeopardy of him not making this roster.
Sure.
I mean, he better catch everything. Between now and the season, he better catch everything because that was a big problem. 5 drops and 2 lost fumbles in October, and he went to the bench.
Right, and he's not giving you special teams value.
No, he doesn't give you any of that other stuff. So, look, Marquise, Didi, and Chris Conley are set. Those three are set. Now, you're fighting for 4 and 5 at this point.
You don't think Chark's?
Oh, I'm sorry, Chark. Yeah, I'm sorry. I forgot DJ Chark.
So you got 4 now.
So 4. So, yeah.
Right, how many are up on game day?
You're fighting for 5. Now, Chark gives you a lot on special teams.
He does, right, which gives him not only, look, second-round draft capital, But the fact that he gives you special teams, he's going to be active on game day,
Absolutely.
Even if he's not a big part of the offensive game plan, you know? And, yeah. and you can't say that for Keelan.
Yeah, so he's – and it's not just you know, it's not just the lack of the special teams that he gives you. He just – you know, he didn't capitalize on that rookie year, and you know, he had the one big catch against New England, and I remember in the locker room after that just kind of getting a vibe from him that, like, I make those kind of catches because I'm a number one wide receiver.
And there's nothing wrong. Like, I don't mind that vibe, like, if that's your confidence and you know, guys got to puff themselves up a little bit, but he didn't follow up on
it. No, and that's the part that was disappointing. And you know, in an offense that had no playmakers, they thought they could rely on him. They thought he was going to be a guy that took the next step. Not only did he not take the next step, he regressed. So as great a story as he was in 2017, he's a bubble guy right now, and I think he knows it.
All right, question of the day, presented by Gravely Zero Turn Mowers, an American workhorse since 1916. When, if ever, will the Jaguars and Yannick Ngakoue get a long-term contract extension worked out? The options were before the 2019 season, during the 2019 season, next offseason, or they simply won't get it done. Tony, what would you have voted for?
I would have voted next offseason.
Okay.
And I think the way that it feels like it's playing out to me right now, I wouldn't be surprised at all if he plays out this season, they franchise him, and it's not done until deep into the franchise tag.
It could be that. That's kind of where I'm at the moment with it as well. If it were up to me, I'd do everything in my power to get it done prior to the 2019 season.
Definitely.
What would you vote for, Mike?
I would probably vote for during the season.
During this upcoming season.
Yeah.
Maybe Jaguar fans hoping, voting with their hearts here. 58% said they think it'll get done before the kickoff of this season. Another 22% said during the season. 14% said next offseason. And then 6% said they're not going to get it done, right? I mean, right now, the Jags are sitting there. The Jags know. Whatever the franchise number, let's say it's $19 million, right? He's going to make 1 point something this year.
2.2. Yeah.
Is it 2.2?
Yeah, it's like 2.018 or something like
okay,
that.
Okay,
let's
call it 2.5, right?
Right.
Let's say between the 2 years, $22 million,
mm-hmm.
right? That's $11 million a season for the next 2 years.
Yep.
So if we're going to take that jump up to $20 million on average, we don't have to necessarily feel the pressure of doing that at this point in time.
No. Yeah, I'm sorry. It's $2.02 million is what his salary is going to be this year.
And the risk is on him a lot more than the team because, again, they've got some degree of control now. You know, if they franchise him, maybe he would change his approach of I'll show up for everything. If he's not under contract, maybe he wouldn't sign the tag right away. But regardless, none of these votes impact, you know, what is going on with Dave Caldwell, Tom Coughlin, and those guys working things out with Yannick Ngakoue and his representatives, but just interesting to see where things stand as far as your opinion on whether or not they'll get that done in a timely fashion. Right now, let's check in with XL Primetime.
Now, the two-minute drill, delivered by Moe's Southwest Grill.
Welcome to Moe's!
At Moe's, our caterings have you covered from head to toe and especially stomach. Order your office event or tailgate catering today online at moescateringfl.com.
Joe Coward popping in. Hello, Joseph. How
are you? What's happening? You guys were in the cool air of the studios today.
Yeah, it wasn't that bad out there yesterday.
Nah,
honestly,
fine.
Really, a little breeze blowing.
I cannot complain when I'm watching guys run around and bust heads. I just can't complain.
Right.
We have the option to sit in
the bleachers if we want to, which I took full advantage of after our show yesterday.
Yeah. Oh, well, which is good.
Yeah, that's where all the rest of the media was hanging out up there, and it's a better vantage point anyway.
That is true. You know, for us vertically challenged, me and D-Rock, you know, you got to get some height.
There's that as well. D-Rock, I said, can I get on your shoulders? I said, bleachers. We're headed to the bleachers is what we're going to do. Joe, I didn't hear this yesterday, but did you resolve your bot fly situation?
Dude, I was freaked out, especially when they brought up the bot fly. And then lo and behold, my son, Michael, brings it up last night, too. He goes, hope it wasn't the bot. So they said – unidentified organisms, bites or lesions.
For you?
Did it just get really quiet right
there? Wait a minute. Who said this? Like, you went and got it checked out?
Yeah, I went and had it checked out.
Unidentified organisms.
Yeah. And then I've
You're a pod person.
Scares the hell out of me.
There's nothing in there, right?
It's scared, huh?
There's nothing in there, right? It's just a bug bite.
Well, there's like several of them. There's like five of them.
Okay, but there's nothing growing inside those things.
No, but there was a what's called a pustule or an abscess. I mean, you can come feel it right now, bro.
No, I'm good.
Let me run my hand through that area.
I turn on the radio saying, Matt Hayes going, you got a bot fly. You got a bot. And I'm going, oh my God, because I've seen that. Those are not
I even had Matt Hayes play the part of the doctor, and he took photographs just to send to me so I could at least see what was going on in the back of my head. Mm. So anyway, I was a little freaked out.
Can't tell it's May, can you?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, we won't have time for this in November, we hope.
Actually,
anyway.
I needed the 1010 XL, the WebMDers out there. Dr. Matt immediately got in touch with me and gave me at least – soothe my mind a little bit as far as what it was.
All right, quickly, our question of the day, when, if they're going to get it done, will they get it done with Unique Ngakoue? Before the season, during the season, after this upcoming season, or not going to get it done?
I think before the season. And I don't like the idea of guys always feeling like they need to stay a year in front of their contract. But most of those guys, the Antonio Browns of the world, they stay 2 years in front of their contract.
I think from a Jaguar perspective, if you're going to do it, you say, look, we're giving you protection right now when you have basically none, so you can't be asking for $20 million a year.
Right.
I think that's fair.
I think the whole notion of giving it to you early is to get that
little
small discount.
You got to get
the
price knocked off a little bit, right.
And that's basically like anybody else says, shop early, save 5%, you know, that type of stuff.
Because you look at the guys getting $20-plus million a year, they were negotiating off a franchise tag, and he's not in that position yet. Yeah. So if you're going to get it done a year early, I think it's got to come down.
I get the feeling that's probably what's going to happen, and it also gives a little bit of space and time between the numbers that they give him and the numbers they'll ultimately have to give Jalen.
We'll find out.
Yeah.
Keep it tuned right here to 1010XL. All the latest. Joe, have a good show today.
All right, fellas.
All right,
thanks.
XL Primetime coming your way. D-Rock, what do you got cooking at ESPN.com?
I actually have a story running, I think, Friday on Unique Ngakoue, and they need to pay him, and you know, it's just like, I mean, look, you compare his production to DeMarcus Lawrence and Frank Clark and Dee Ford. I mean, he's got more sacks, I think, than and we threw Trey Flowers in there because he signed a massive deal. I think he's got more sacks than all but Frank Clark. I think Frank Clark has 32 over the last 3 years, the same time Unique's been in there. He's got more forced fumbles than all of them.
But then you do factor in the play against the run as well.
Exactly, but I mean, it's hard. But look, you need him to rush the passer.
I understand.
That's what he is. That's what he does. Those guys don't get paid to stop the run. They get paid to rush the passer. That's the bottom line. You don't pay $18, $19 million a year to a guy who stops the run.
No, but you may pay $17 million to a guy who just rushes the passer and $19 million to a guy who's more well-rounded.
I wouldn't say Unique is a just rush the passer guy. Is he great against the run? No, but he's gotten better as his career has gone.
All right, we'll look for that on Friday at ESPN.com. D-Rock, have a good week. We'll see you out there. Tony, tomorrow, back out on the field. Love it. John DeFilippo speaks before practice, so we'll have some of his comments for you throughout the course of the show today. We'll see who else pops in to the cool tent, the cool zone tomorrow.
Can't wait.
Maybe we'll get lucky. All right, for Tony, for Mike, for E.T. and Joe Fortunato, I'm Mike Dempsey. Have a great day, everybody. Back again tomorrow live from the practice facility for OTAs for Jaguars today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Yo, Jacksonville, let's go.